Today on Real Radio.
Our Christianity is not a fluff addition to our life. It is life. It's more than this life we live.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. We're in a mini-series that takes a look at a section in chapter 3, where the Apostle John explains that there is at least one truly noticeable outstanding qualification of the true believer, and that is love for the brethren. Jesus himself went on record saying that this is one clear way that the world would know that we are his people. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called Proof of the Divine Birth.
And Cain offered a sacrifice just like Abel did. Now, listen, there's a couple of options here or opinions I should bring up. Those of you who are Bible students and scholars, listen carefully. This is debated. And I want to just hit this for a moment. It is said regarding Cain and Abel's offerings, you know the story, that when it came time to make an offering, Abel brought a lamb that had been sacrificed, placed it on the altar, and Cain brought, because he was a farmer, he brought grain and offered it up. Was that a sin? No, because the Bible talks about that God does accept grain offerings. See, some people will say, well, the reason why Cain was in trouble from the get-go is because he didn't offer a blood offering. And there's a lot of validity to that argument. Because without the shedding of blood, it has to be innocent blood, there is no covering for sin. But the law had not yet been given. Keep that in mind. But it's a good argument. What made Cain's offering evil to God? It was an offering. Let's put it in a modern day vernacular. They went to church together. They tithed. They even served in the church. They lifted their hands in worship to God. They wore the same clothes. Mom made them both. They looked identical. They're going through all of the motions. What's John's point? Internally. Am I boring you? Internally, there was something wrong. It didn't matter how good they looked on the outside. There was something wrong on the inside. Cain's offering was evil. Why? His heart was evil. It wasn't that it was grain. A wheat or a wave offering. It was his heart. The heart was the issue. Cain's internal hatred manifested itself ultimately in external murder. That hatred was there and it came out and it came against his brother. What a tragic start for the human race, isn't it? It was a matter of faith as well. You know, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I love that chapter, by the way. Whenever you get depressed, read Hebrews 11. It's the chapter of the lifestyles of the righteous and faithful. It's a great book. In Hebrews 11:4, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You see, it was the blood, though that's important, or the grain. It was the heart. And it was the faith connected. Cain's heart was evil. Abel's faith was real, inwardly first, and it was revealed outwardly. Tragically, Cain, in a spiritual sense, is a descendant of Satan. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 8:44, he speaks to the religious hierarchy of his day, and he says, you are of your father, the devil. Man, check that out in your genealogical tree. Jesus says, hey, I'll tell you about your genealogy. You have your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks lies from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of every lie. Satan is. It's an interesting thing that the Bible warns us prophetically in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the Antichrist is going to come onto the world scene and he's going to deceive people by a lie. By the way, it's singular. It's not lies. He will somehow state something that is the ultimate lie, and the world will go after him. In Psalm 51, verse 5, the Bible says, "Behold," this is David speaking, "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Well, we talked about it earlier, how we're all born into sin. That's why we have to be born again. And just jot it down, there's no time to read it, but Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 32 warns us about the flesh and the nature of the flesh and how destructive it is. Look with me at verse 13. Regarding our love for one another, love regardless of reward, because it's dedicated unto God, and love that endures. He says, "Do not marvel, don't be surprised, my brethren, if the world hates you." I don't know if you've been a Christian very long or you've been able to declare publicly your faith or in any way act out your faith publicly, but it won't take long before you find out the world hates you. Don't worry about it. The world hates you. It's probably, again, proof of the divine birth that's taking place in your life. The world is going to hate you. The next thing that we see in our third point, and we'll wrap it up on the third point here tonight, the proof of the divine birth is that we have the life of God. We have the life of God. I've often bored you with that breakdown of Noah Webster's presentation of the word enthusiasm or enthusiastic. Last night I was speaking to a gathering of college students, and I gave that, by the response of the students, they had not looked into that word, and they're very excited about it. But when we talk about having the life of God in us, I don't know about you, but there's don't take this wrong, but there's some people who are just up all the time. That's their personality, and that's great. There's some people who are down or appear to be down. There's some people that are just, you know, stable Mabels, you know. They're just always in the same spot. They're just always, you know, you've known them for years. They're just that way. And that's great. That's just great. God's made you that way. That's super. But I believe strongly that this word enthusiastic or enthusiasm, you know, it's rooted in Greek and in the Latin language. And en is indwelling, theos is God, and asm is activity. Because God dwells within you, you have activity. There's a unction to your life. Now, you may be a very melancholy person, and you're a born-again Christian. That's great. But somewhere in your life, somehow, there's going to be an enthusiasm regarding God. It could be in your writing. It could be in leaving messages on people's phone. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you're not outwardly, you know, you're not going to be found on the street corner preaching. It's not you. But you can be found praying. And somebody might say, "Well, you know, they're pretty boring." Well, wait a minute. Have you ever been with them in a prayer meeting? My goodness. I pray and desire God surround me with people who are enthusiastic in the area of prayer. I need it. Badly. We have the life of God. He has given it to us. It cost him, by the way, everything to give us his life. He says there in verses 14 and 15, and we'll end in verse 15 tonight. He says, "We know that we have passed from death to life." Now look at that, everyone. Is everybody getting this? Now look, if you're struggling with your salvation, if you can know it or not, what does he say there in verse 14? We know that we have passed from death to life. Do you? If you don't, you better settle that tonight, friend, because you're supposed to know it. Because we love the brethren. Now, let's be honest. We have to work at loving the brethren. We have to work at it. We have to work at it in a way that it's done God's way. It doesn't mean that we're going to tie a little ribbon on the end of our finger to remind us to love everyone, but especially our brothers and sisters. And when they come by and they, like, crunch your car or take your seat at church, or you know, accidentally cut you off in the way to the drinking fountain or the bathroom. You don't pull your finger up and say, I will love my brethren. I will love my brethren. You don't do that. That's not going to do it. That's not it. When I say work at it, are you ready? Jesus put it, in fact, it's the same train of logic. What must I do to work the works of God? Jesus said what? Believe on him whom God has sent. That's the work. How do I love my brothers and sisters? Which naturally it's not normal for us to do. How do I work at it? Lord, will you give me love for them? Because quite frankly, I'd like to strangle them. Lord, give me love for them because we don't get along. Anybody married in here? Raise your hand. Lord, give me love for them because, you know, you can't just tie a finger, I mean, a little string around your finger and say, because they're my wife or because they're my husband, I know I should just, you know, really. That, you know how long that's going to last? You've got to say, Lord, I need your help to get me through this time or this situation or whatever it is. You can't do it on your own. We have the love of God. Because we have, because we have the life of God, it's a life that can be known. What do I mean by that? It's public. It can be seen. It can be experienced. How so? There were some people this evening that saw a family in need. Apparently, they were kind of salvaging through some rubble and getting things together, and it was obvious that there's a family kind of, you know, going through trash cans. And what did those Christians do? They went over and they said, you know what? Want some food? Want some help? Want some stuff? Listen, it would have been worthless to say, you know what you need to do right now? You need to get on your knees and accept Jesus Christ. Now, that's our goal. Don't get me wrong. That's our goal. But you know what? Give them something to drink first, will you? Feed them first. Give them hope. And you befriend them that way, and that's truly the work of a missionary. You think you have to get in an airplane to go somewhere? Listen, just go down the street. And God will show you that your love for Christ can be made public, and that can be done in a bazillion ways. Your love for Christ can be made public, very public indeed. I love this shot right here. We took this last summer. That's public enough, don't you think? Acts 2:41 says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. This is taken from one of our baptisms this last summer. If you were there, you know that from my vantage point or from where you're looking, there was a host of people watching, strangers looking on. What are they doing? We had strangers say, praise the Lord to us. Passers-by, obviously brethren. We had people also say, you rotten, blankety, blank Christians. You know what? I don't know about you, but I love that. That's real. And if you can't handle that, then, you know, what's with your Christianity? It's much more resilient than that, you know? When we were in London, we got spit on. We got pushed around. We got called every name in the book. In fact, a lot of the names we were called, we couldn't figure out what they meant. You know, we're standing there and we're preaching Christ in Piccadilly Circus. You know, that's not a circus. They call it a circus. It's a circle. We would probably say Piccadilly Circuit or circle. We're preaching Christ. People are walking by and they're called. And now maybe you might, I don't know, maybe I'm going to say a bad word. But, you know, they're calling us a wiggle, and they're calling us, you know, a can, and we're going, sticks and stones may break my bones. I mean, it's like, what are you saying? It doesn't matter anyway. Oh, they certainly said things that were known on this side of the pond as that side. But the thing is, you can feel the Lord. There's this resilience. You are proclaiming Christ publicly. You're as Whitfield talked about, invincible. It doesn't matter. You stupid Christians, it doesn't even matter. Now, listen, Christianity is built to take it. If they tie us up to a post and they're going to burn us at the stake unless we deny Christ, you know what? Let's help them gather wood. It can take it. Our Christianity is not a fluff, you know, addition to our life. It is life. It's more than this life we live. I remember when my wife and I, while we were engaged at the time, she was working at State Farm Insurance in Costa Mesa, and somebody, she had her Bible or something, I don't know how the story goes, but somehow somebody recognized that she must be some sort of a believer, and they just tore into her. And I was at my job getting torn into, but we both had different personalities, obviously. But we had to be married because we got back together that night, and she was all ups, I can't believe this. And she was all hurt. And I'm sitting there thinking, what is her problem? What are you upset about? They asked me if I was a Christian. I said yes, and they just, you know, began to make fun of me. And what are you crying for? So, Jack, you're really mean. I probably am really mean. But the thing is, what are you crying for? Hallelujah, you're a Christian. They found out about it. They didn't like it. Get a bigger Bible and go back there tomorrow. Publicly, it can be known. We have songwriters, David and Bruce and others in here, songwriters, Dana, performers. We've got musicians. Publicly. Opportunities. There's lawyers in here tonight. There's engineers in here tonight. There's doctors in here tonight. School teachers, parents, moms, students, electricians. You can take it public. You can make it public. Secondly, we have the life of God, and that it's a life that can be lived now. We don't have to wait. I loved what Pastor Jim Cimbala said last Sunday. I love what he said. When he reads about what Christianity was, he looks in the Bible to what's going to happen in the future while you sit around and let the now just go right by you. I refuse to live like that. Our faith, our divine birth is for now. It's now. You and I may not be guaranteed tomorrow. We may die tonight. We may get hit by a truck or choke on a M&M or die of a heart attack. I don't know. Only God knows. What are we doing with the now? We're to be living. Proof of the divine birth is seen and known by our Christian love one for another. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, the Bible says those that are left outside of heaven are those who have strayed away. Revelation 22, 15, outside the city are those who have strayed away from God. And the sorcerers, and the immoral, and the murderers. Those are people who hate. Idolaters, and all who love to lie and do it. It says in verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now listen. It is wonderful to realize that I know at least three people at this church who are murderers. I mean, they physically murdered somebody. They've done their time. They're out. But in the process, they gave their heart to Christ. Their lives have been completely changed, and the years of fruit have shown it. And the beautiful thing is, you don't know who they are. The power of God. Let me ask you, does that bother you or does it bless you? If you start to view people as, well, man, he's a big sinner. I bet it took a lot of blood to get rid of that guy's sin. God doesn't grade on a curve. This sweet little white-haired grandma who tells a lie is just as guilty crucifying the Son of God as a public murderer. But listen, God saves sinners. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, great preacher, probably the greatest of his time, no doubt, said this concerning 1 John chapter 3 and these that we read of this evening. Dr. Lloyd-Jones says, those who are dead in their sins are dead to the value of their own souls. They care not, nor are they aware of the fact that they are being invisibly led away day by day deeper into a maze of which they will never recover. For the prince of demons has been their unknowing guide to a place reserved in darkness for them forever. This is their unbelievable end. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. No fornicators, that's single people having sex, nor idolaters, that's worshiping things, nor adulterers, that's having sex with a married person, nor homosexuals, need I describe that, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous people, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, next verse, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 6, 11 says, and such were some of you, past tense, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Man, does that not give you hope or what? Are you an idolater? Have you had sex with somebody and you're single? Are you a fornicator? Jesus, you can come to Jesus Christ and become a virgin again. Are you an extortionist? And such were some of you. Such were some of us. But we've been washed. I'm so glad. It's an awesome thing to realize that God has gone to the lengths that he has to free us and make us acceptable to him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a mini-series taken from a section of 1 John chapter 3, where John actually explains how love among the believers is a true and obvious sign of being a disciple of Jesus. The title, Proof of the Divine Birth. Proof of the Divine Birth is a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's look at this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, when you get a chance, visit realradioactive.org, because that's where you can hear archived editions of Real Radio. You can email your question to Ask Pastor Jack, learn more about our Real Radio resources. It's also a great way to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening with Real Radio. But in addition to all that, here's my favorite part. You could subscribe to Words to the Wise. That's Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can get in your email inbox. You know, more and more Real Radio listeners are subscribing to Words to the Wise, and it turns out it's making a big difference in their lives, including this person who says, I enjoy Pastor Jack's devotional, Words to the Wise. More often than not, they speak to a situation I or someone close to me is dealing with, and I'm able to share it with them through the link at the bottom. Some have even subscribed to and receive it themselves. It's truly a blessing. Thank you, Pastor Jack. You know, we love getting letters like that. You could subscribe to Words to the Wise. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click right there at the bottom on the right that says devotional. Realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.